What's up? It's your boy Chris Lee TV back again with another video. With the last interview we did, I had Marquis on here. We had a pretty good conversation. I had some pretty good feedback on YouTube. And I wanted to finish the conversation out. Thank you for coming back, Marquis. Last time we talked about leasing, family, and your experience over the last last 17 years of being a truck driver. Today, I wanted to get more into the entrepreneur side of things. I know that we talk about that a lot on the spaces on Mondays, and also, the money and the finances, the credit, we talk about that a lot also. What kind of got you, like, I think last time we talked about you kind of seeing the check on the counter, and then driving for 17 years, leasing and things like that. So what got you, like, with the mindset of, getting your finances in order to build credit and things like that? Like, because I think credit is a topic that we don't talk about a lot because there's a lot of miseducation, there's a lot of misinformation, a lot of, we're not properly educated as in some instances. So you have to really seek out that type of knowledge to want to build your credit. So what kind of got you started with that?
Well, just like you say, it's a lot of misinformation out there. And then, we're taught that credit is a monster and that you just don't mess with credit cards. And we're taught to fear credit. Mm-hmm. And I've been a victim of that also. I've had that mentality where I'm not dealing with credit and things like that. And then as I started doing research, because as soon as I got my CDL and started driving my first truck, I wanted to become an owner-operator. Mm-hmm. And then later on, I said, well, when I started, switching jobs and, leaving this job and going to that job and going to the different orientations and finding out how companies were doing things, I'm like, listening to some of the companies that I was going to the orientation and how they got started, I'm like, that don't sound hard. You know, like it's something that's impossible to do. And so I felt like I could do that too. And so I started educating myself on different aspects of being like an entrepreneur and being a legitimate business mm-hmm. owner. And so what I learned was, credit was a powerful tool. Sure. And I drove for 12 years or 11 years before I decided to start, working on building my credit, because what I found out was credit is the most important part of your business. It's even more important than establishing your business credit, because there is a majority of the stuff that you not going to be able to get done if your personal credit ain't right.
Yeah.
And so having that personal credit right, you can give yourself access to millions and millions of dollars mm-hmm. through business financing. But you got to show that you can, manage your personal business before they'll trust you with what you need for your actual business.
100%.
And so when I first started, I think my credit score was somewhere around either 388 or 488 mm-hmm. because I wasn't using any credit. I wasn't using bank accounts. I just totally took myself off the map. Because I was having trouble, managing credit, and was every week I was having to pay those overdraft fees and I just couldn't get my finances right. But then I started listening to audiobooks. I started listening to podcasts and YouTube and stuff like that. And then once I started, learning, I was getting a lot of misinformation.
Right.
One person was saying, pay everything off. Another person was saying, leave a balance on it. So I kept getting 10 and 15 different answers mm-hmm. to one question. And so I said, I need to learn this stuff by experience. I need to do it and then see what works and see what mm-hmm. don't work. And so that's what I started. And I just started as kind of like an experiment to see, what'll work. And as I started experimenting, I just started getting approved for more and more things. And before I knew it, I had like 50 some credit cards.
Right.
And so I said, well, these can be used to, help me with the maintenance on my truck to keep my business, flowing properly. Mm-hmm. And then while I was getting educated on the personal credit, I started doing research on the business credit. And then I just started finding out more and more information mm-hmm. on the business credit and just how much more you could get if your personal credit is right. And so, and that's what kind of led me to want to do, you know, the entrepreneur thing, because I was not only that as far as the credit side, but I was dealing with a lot of companies that just wasn't doing business right. Like I was getting shorted on my check, or I wasn't getting my check at all. And then they would make me wait till the following week to get money they owed me this week. But I'm like, I delivered your load. Why should I have to wait a week to get my check? And so I was looking up, and it was just constantly one thing after the other. Like they gave me, I had bad dispatches, and then they gave me dispatches that was trying to run my truck like a company truck.
Right.
I'm an owner operator. I would get to a place and it's supposed to have a preloaded trailer. And then I get there, the trailer ain't loaded. It's not even in the door. Mm-hmm. And they saying this may take them 2-3 days to get it loaded. And the dispatcher trying to make me wait there for 2-3 days, but they don't want to pay me the proper layover pay. They trying to give me company layover pay, like $25 to $50 a day instead of like $250 a day. And so I was just like, with stuff like that constantly happening, I was like, I just need to get me a truck and break away from these companies so that I can dictate how the truck move and I can dictate what I do.
100%. What are like three things you took away from when you were doing like your research with finances? What were three things you took away that you would give somebody like starting it off, or like a book or anything? What would you recommend someone start to get on that path?
Some books that I read. One of them was the Richest Man in Babylon.
Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorites.
Another one called 48 Laws of Power.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Gotcha.
And so those three books are kind of what started steering me, you know, in the right direction as far as like financing or finances. And then three things that I took away is, you know, one, don't procrastinate, because, you know, we quick to say, well, I'm gonna do this when I get this in order. I'm gonna do that when I get that in order. Mm-hmm. And the longer you wait until you get certain things done, you're gonna find that time passing. 1 year gonna turn to 2 years, 2 years gonna turn into three, three gonna turn into five, five gonna turn into 10. So you have to get out of that mentality of you know, saying I'm gonna wait on this and wait on that. And you have to be more aggressive towards the goals you want to accomplish, because the sooner you get on things and get them done, the better off you're going to be.
100%.
And then two, I would say fear. You know, fear is one of the biggest hindrances, fear of the unknown. You know, we're so scared of things that we create in our mind
mm-hmm.
that it blocks us from a lot of success that we could be having. And
true.
And until we, you know, step out of that fear, just like I said, you know, credit is taught to be a monster. Like even when I was married, I was trying to, you know, get my wife to do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to get my son to do certain things, but because of the fears that was instilled in them, they refused to do the things that I was instructing them to do,
mm-hmm.
which was going to make their life easier and better.
Right.
And so, you know, it showed in their lives with the stuff that they struggling with, you know, financially. And it also showed in my life with the doors that was open for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, credit can open doors, but until you remove that fear, and we'll just make up things in our mind. Like, you know, I'm going to get denied if I apply for this.
Yeah.
I seen a video on YouTube about this company, Citizens Bank. And they had came up with a website where you could apply for a business credit card without a hard pull.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the first started talking to me saying, you're not going to get approved. You don't have a bank account with them. And so I said, you know what? I'm just going to try. You know, it's not going to be nothing against me. They're not doing a hard pull. I'll just see what they say.
Why not? Right.
And they ended up giving me a $15,000 business credit card.
Mm.
with no relationship with him at all. I had never even heard of him before I saw the YouTube video. And then I say number three was one of the biggest problems that I had. And that was planning.
Yeah.
You know, I would plan to death. I would plan and make plans and make a backup plan and a backup to the backup and a backup for the backup of the backup.
Yeah, I got the issue. Execute yeah, one of I those got the plans. Issue. Yeah.
And so when I would talk to other people about, like, you know, they would ask me about how to get certain things, you know, going in their business.
Mm-hmm.
And I would tell them what they need to do. And they would actually go do the things I say. And then they would come up and end up making money off the information I shared with them. But then I'm getting kind of upset and jealous because they're doing good off the information I told them. But then I'm not doing good off of it. But I'm like, that's because they're executing and I'm just planning. And
right.
so you make your plans, you set your goals, and then you aggressively pursue them.
Gotcha.
And so those would be the three things that I would say would be, you know, that I took away from everything.
Okay. And yeah, that's pretty good. Like you were saying, like that's one of the things I do is I plan 30 businesses, have them all mapped out, and don't do but maybe one or two of them. But yeah, that kind of hit home with me. Something I probably need to stop doing is doing all the planning, you know what I'm saying? Just execute, especially with this YouTube channel. I have it's a lot of potential behind this, you know what I'm saying? Social media, creating content and stuff like that. That's one of the things I'm trying to get back into. But that has to do with entrepreneurship. With me as a kid, like I saw entrepreneurship as like a way out. I like the idea of being able to work for yourself and things like that. What was like kind of your, you know what I'm saying, like that bug that got you wanting to be an entrepreneur? And then what were some of your early businesses, you know what I'm saying, things that you kind of started off doing and kind of brought with you to trucking?
Well, my first business started when I was 4 years old, and it was with marbles.
Yeah,
I grew up in the projects, and we played marbles every day, and I just happened to be real good at marbles.
Yeah,
and so I won so many marbles that we had I had a potato sack full of marbles, and you couldn't even move that sack because it was so heavy.
Jeez.
And then I had, you know, a unfortunate, you know, chain of incidents. My grandmother died, and so I had to move in with my great grandmother. She came and took me from my mother because my mother was a teenage mother, and so she just felt like, you know, with her running the streets and doing all the stuff she was doing, she wouldn't be able to raise a kid. So I moved in with my great grandmother, and so they had to take the marbles and put them in socks to be able to move all the marbles.
Yeah.
And so when I got out there to her house, they was just getting into marbles on that side of town. And so what I did was I bought some sandwich bags, and I had friends that was like, who had parents in the military. And because it was so popular, they would bring like marbles from like Japan and Taiwan and Germany and different parts of the world. So I had the like most exotic collection of marbles. So what I did was I put those marbles in the sandwich bag, and I sold like bags of marbles for like 25 and 50 cent bags.
Yeah.
And by the time I got rid of all my marbles, I had like maybe about $100.
Yeah.
And I was about 5 years old then with $100 in my pocket.
That's real cool. Yeah.
And then we went out to the candy store, and you know, we was buying penny candy. And so when I was talking to the guy behind the counter, you know, I noticed that they had a big old, you could buy the individual bags, I mean, buy the little pieces of candy, but then they had this big old bag of candy. And I was like, how much is that big bag of candy? And he was like, it was like $10. And so I'm like, well, with $10, I get way more candy with that big bag
than these
little things. So I ended up buying the big bag of candy. And then I started putting together like grab bags of candy. And I noticed that every time I spent $10, I made anywhere between $70 to $100 back off that big grab bag. So I started selling that. And then the business I got into after that, I opened a pawn shop before I knew what a pawn shop was.
Yeah.
And I think I was about 7 years old this time. And what I did, like, if this friend had a He-Man and this friend had a G.I. Joe and this friend wanted this friend's He-Man and this friend wanted this friend's G.I. Joe, then they would bring the toy to me and I would swap them out and give them to each other.
Mm-hmm.
But I would charge each of them $1 to exchange their toys. And so before I looked at it, I had a room just full of toys and everything. But, you know, like a lot of stuff, we get greedy. And we had a new kid move into the neighborhood. And then I noticed he had a whole collection of real nice Atari games.
Mm-hmm.
His mom and daddy got divorced and his mama got everything in a divorce. Mm-hmm. And so so I traded him a bunch of old Atari games for his new Atari game. Yeah, so I kind of got him on that deal. And so his mama came down to the house and told my grandmama what happened. And then so she came in my room and I got raided.
Mm-hmm. That's not, it was a good cycle. It was a good run. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to learn a lot.
By the time I was 8 years old, I had saved up almost $800.
Yeah.
That's just what's from up. All the little side hustles I was just creating. So I always had a gift of just creating a business out of nothing.
100%.
You know,
yeah.
And that just came from, just growing up with, no mother, father, and just having a sense of I got to survive and I got to make it, for myself and for the people that I'm responsible for.
Understood. So how do you translate that into today when we have, I know we talked about the cars and stuff like that, with these new, businesses Airbnb and stuff like that, how do you translate that into today's environment?
Well, today's environment it's a lot more easy to create something because of technology. Technology is basically making it where you can just create a business out of nothing. I mean, it doesn't even have to exist. And just because you think of it, you can create it. So I think it's a lot easier today than it had been in the past. Cause just like before when I was telling you, when I got out of jail, I was trying to do every get rich quick scheme I was seeing on TV.
Right.
But now there are much more, legitimate opportunities, like with the Turo and with the Uber and Lyft and different things like that. I was looking at this one website where they'll pay you to rent out your truck, and there were some instances where drivers was getting paid like almost $5,000 a week to lease their truck on to a company that need trucks. And so I mean it's just a lot of opportunities out there.
Sure.
But it's just all about just educating yourself on that opportunity and figuring out how you can get involved and make it work for you.
100%.
Because everything not gonna work for everybody. One person may get in this business and make $1 million. Another person may get in the same business, duplicate everything they see with that other person, and end up being in the hole. So it's about just, seeing what's out there for you and then operating in that lane.
Yeah, I agree. One of the things we talked about, I've had people on the channel who are into music, and I know that's one of your things. How did you get started in that?
Well, I just always had a deep love for music, from the time I was a baby all the way up until now. And I had an aunt in the country. My grandfather was from East Texas, and she had a little juke joint and stuff like that, and a lot of old blues singers would come through and stuff like that. I was a little kid holding the can at the door, getting quarters from all the musicians coming in. And then my grandfather, he was a jazz musician. And so I just always had a deep love for music. And when everybody had the little parties and stuff like that, I was 3 and 4 years old operating the turntables and, playing all the little records and stuff like that. that everybody was dancing to.
Right on.
And then by the time I got to high school, or actually junior high, my aunt bought me a jam box that I could actually record my cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And then after she bought me that, I started learning that I could actually write music. And
gotcha.
So I started doing like freestyling and doing music. And then later on, I ended up getting songs on the radio and performing and meeting artists that I grew up listening to. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think my last live show was with UGK and Too Short.
Right
and
on.
So, and that was like back in 2000. And then in 2010, I took a year off the road because I made so much money off the stock market that I just went ahead and paid my bills up for a year. And then I enrolled in school because I could play some things by ear,
mm-hmm.
but I wanted to actually learn how to read music so that I know what I'm playing. And so I enrolled in school and studied sound engineering, took piano classes, took theory classes, took music business classes. And when I took the music business class, that's when I understood music on a whole nother level. And I started seeing the power of the business of music. And so that's what I'm mainly focused on now when it comes to the music side of my business. Is I'm focusing on creating content and building up my library, and then maybe working on developing artists later on.
Gotcha.
Once I'm able to, you know, get some of my other businesses ran by employees and I'm able to just free my time up to do more music and actually movies too, because besides music, I write. And so
yeah.
I have a bunch of movie ideas that I want to produce, like independent films.
For sure.
And so, you know, I got some shows I think could, you know, give 50 a run for his money as far as power, just,
yeah,
you know, based on my life experiences when I was in the streets and stuff like that. So it's a lot of stuff that I want to do that more on the positive side than the negative, you know.
Yeah, I understand.
Try to bring awareness to, you know, certain things, you know, like how guys end up in the street, because, you know, a lot of people will look at a drug dealer and be like, you know, oh, that's a bad person. But
right.
There's a lot of drug dealers out there that went through a lot of things in life and have trouble finding legitimate jobs, but they're very intelligent. And so they
mm-hmm.
end up, you know, walking on the, you know, the street side of things. And all they want to do is just, you know, take care of the people that they're responsible for. Everybody not out here robbing and stealing and doing things like that. Because like when I was in the streets, I was protecting the neighborhood. I was making sure that people wasn't getting robbed. I was making sure that like the dealers wasn't messing around with people's kids and different things like
right,
that.
Right.
And making sure people's houses and cars didn't get broken into. Some of the single mothers and fathers, I was making sure that they had, you know, the money for their bills and their light bills and
mm-hmm.
water bill. And if anybody came up short, they came and hollered at me and I helped them out, you know. And the majority of the time, I never even asked for the money back. And then some of the kids that was, you know, real smart and wanted to, you know, go on some of the field trips, but they couldn't do it because their mother, father was on drugs. I would pay for their field trip and get them money that they need to eat lunch and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah,
you know, I was pretty much policing the neighborhood that I was in.
Gotcha. So just to segue back to the trucking industry. So how are you using the trucking industry to, you know, keep doing kind of what you were doing before, but like in a different type of way, just to keep, you know what I'm saying, keep you rolling and keep you, you know what I'm saying, within the lifestyle and doing the things that you want to do? Like, how are you using the trucking industry to do that?
Well, the trucking gives me the freedom to be able to do things financially without having to necessarily get a loan. You know, I have to, you know, be a little more patient and wait on things. But, you know, the money I make off of trucking, it finances my music company, it finances mm-hmm. my film company, it finances all of my dreams, you know, because
yeah.
the money I make off of trucking, especially being a straight up owner operator now and being under my authority, is way more money than I make as a company driver. So when it's things I want, I can just get it because
right.
the money is there. But at the same time, I understand that if I use the trucking properly, I can get myself access to millions and millions of dollars in financing because the income is so high. And so if you can show that you can make $10,000 a month consistently for 3 months, then you got companies out there that'll give you business lines of credit and business credit cards and small business loans and working capital loans for millions of dollars, you know, but you just got, you just got to do the work it takes to just, you know, show that information and show that you can make those finances.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm in the process of doing right now is staying out and working so that I can show the money that they need to see for 90 days so that I can put myself in position to get that financing that I need to be able to expand my trucking company by hiring drivers, by buying trailers, by purchasing possibly a warehouse to park my trucks at and possibly do warehousing work and, you know, storing customers' products and stuff like that.
For sure. I think that's like a lot of the like groundwork, the behind the scenes stuff that people don't get to see. You know, that they just see the end product, the finished product, and try to kind of go from there, like, and I understand like kind of the hard work that goes into it, but I appreciate you like kind of shedding that light on, you know what I'm saying, really crawling before you run. One thing I wanted to ask you was like, what makes you want to keep doing this stuff? What makes you, you know what I'm saying? Like we talked about the many businesses you had and the stuff like that, but, and kind of what motivated you to do it. But sometimes things change, you know what I'm saying? And the people around you change. And like, what keeps you, you know what I'm saying, wanting to keep running? Like, you outrun a lot of people, I'm sure, that are around you that, oh, they're giving me the warning again, 10 minutes. Dang, that went by quick. All right, yeah. So, just a pretty basic question, you know what I'm saying? Just what keeps you motivated to do these types of things?
Well, the one thing about my life, you know, when I was young, I was always more mature. So
yeah.
I didn't really, because I was forced to be because of things that was going on in my life. So, like, when I was 5 years old, I was hanging out with the teenagers. When I was a teenager, I was hanging out with like 20 and 30 year old men. And then when I was like 18 and 19, I was sitting around talking to the old school cats.
Gotcha.
And, you know, just getting familiar with their lives and seeing some of the things that they had when they was young versus how they was forced to live their lives as they were old. And a lot of people in our community, you know, still have to work in their 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s, they spent their entire life working and they don't have nothing to show for it, or they can't, you know, be comfortable because they have to work. And that's one thing that I don't want to be in a position. If I work, I want to work because I want to work and because I love working. Mm-hmm. I don't want to work because I'm forced to do it, you know? Right. And so what keeps me motivated is I'm always thinking about the future. And in the future, I don't want to be struggling, you know, because just like right now, I'm having some health issues and it's making it harder to do my job, but the job still has to be done. So through all the health issues and whatever else I got going on, I still have to get things done. And I don't like to struggle and I don't like to lack. And so that's what motivates me to keep going, because I don't want to ever be in a position to where I need anyone else, or I have to depend on somebody else. And when I say somebody else, I mean like a job, J-O-B, just over broke, you know? Because these people don't care nothing about you. They only care about you keeping them rich. You know, you just a number to them. And then as soon as they don't need you no more, or can't use you anymore, they kick you to the curb and replace you. And I don't want to be in that position. And I'm like, if I'm building my own company, then the chances of me being in that position is going to be a lot lower. And especially if I'm doing things the right way, because I worked for enough companies that didn't do things the right way and seeing how it worked out for them, you know, losing drivers, losing the company, losing everything they had. I don't want to be in that position.
I understand that completely. That's a great answer. And I can relate to it because one thing that I think truck drivers don't do is plan for the future. I've seen it's kind of what made me want to write my book and get more into the financial side of trucking, talk more about finances, is that I didn't see like a bunch of drivers. I didn't see a lot of young drivers. Like when I first started 5 years ago, it was a lot of older drivers. You know, like I said, the game wasn't really being put out there like that. Nobody really put me on to truck driving. I don't recall meeting truck drivers growing up. But like I said, one thing I did see as soon as I came in was like older men still driving, like being 70, 80, 90 years old, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, yeah, that's cool that they have somewhere that they can work, you know what I'm saying? And it's still like they maintain their independence. But I was like, why are they working? Was it for, you know what I'm saying, just because that's their lifestyle? And it is a lifestyle, trucking. But I also thought it was an issue with not having a plan to retire. And that's kind of what kind of scared me into wanting to learn about finances and money and credit and budgeting and life insurance and stuff like that. So that's kind of what I dove into. It was like a fear thing. It was like, man, I don't want to be that guy that dies at the wheel. Like what do I need to do to make sure that I can establish some things so that doesn't
happen. That's what I tell my friends all the time, is that I don't want to die in the truck.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm working to build things that'll get me out the truck, because just like I said, I've done 17 years driving. So now it's time for me to, you know, start moving into some of these other business ideas and business opportunities that I've been finding.
Yeah. And that's what I like about you, man, because I guess that kind of resonated with my thought process at the beginning of my journey as a truck driver. Was like, what can I do? Just to, you know what I'm saying, just use trucking as like, I always say it as a stepping stone into something else. Yeah. And I think like you really have a good plan, and you have like, you know what I'm saying, you have everything kind of, you know what I'm saying, kind of your stars are aligning in that aspect where you're able to use the trucking to fund the things that you want to do and how you want to live your life. So I think that's pretty cool. I got 4 minutes left. I have everything from the last interview as far as the social medias. Everybody, please check out the last interview I did with Marquis. We talked about leasing, family, his 17 years driving. This interview was the part two, where we spoke about money, finances, credit, and entrepreneurship. Any last words you want to say to the people before we end this?
Well, like and subscribe and follow the channel.
For sure. Got you. And make sure you guys check out these show notes below so you can find all of Marquis' social media, where Spotify, his YouTube, and his Twitter. I appreciate everybody watching. This is more Chris Lee TV. And we didn't get to do an outro last time, but deuces.
Most definitely. Enjoy. Available anytime.
Got you. All right.